Yo, what's going on out there? This is Level Up with Ryan Hodge. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. We got another great episode for you all out there. Hopefully we learn something, find out some new info, whatever you want to call it, but that's what we're here for. We're going to level up. Hey, but before we do, we want to shout out Hindsight Media Radio for putting this whole thing together. Also, I need you to log into RyanHodgeBooks.com and check out some of my novels. There's 9 of them up there. A little bit of something for everybody. And if you can't find something for yourself, hey, maybe you'll phone a friend. And maybe there'll be something up there for them. Either way, we're going to get to the show in a sec. Later. Well, hello, hello, everybody. This is Ryan Hodge, and of course, this is Level Up. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I hope everybody's had a productive week and took some of the things we talked about last week and implemented them into their lives today. Hey, like I said on this show, we're trying to be better, do better, think better, eat better. All of these different things to move us forward as a people, as a person. As always, just provide information that we can all use that's practical and can seamlessly be implemented into our daily routines and activities. That's what we're here for, y'all. We're just trying to grow and get better. We're going to level up. Now, as I stated a moment ago, we're going to be talking about life insurance and other types of insurance, but we're going to focus on insurance today. Now, as always, to provide a basis for the show, we need to know exactly what life insurance is, and that's what we're going to live by as we go through the happenings of today's show. Real quick, life insurance is just basically being paid upon somebody's death, paid money that was part of the policy that you created before the person died. So real simple, we won't spend too much time on that, but we had to get it out of the way for the basis of the show, like I said. And also, you might hear a couple other terms related to life insurance on this show today. So one of the terms you may hear today is a life insurance policy entitled term life policy. And exactly what is that? That's a policy that has a set amount of time. So it may be 10 years, 20 years, or 30 years, but that'll be determined at the point when you sit down and set up the policy. And there's another term you may hear when we're talking about life insurance policies today, and that's actually called whole life insurance policy. And that's a policy that actually exists for the duration of your life. So as long as your premiums are paid, which is what you're supposed to pay every month, as long as you pay those on time and every month, it'll be with you as far as that policy is concerned for the rest of your life. So if you die at 90, your policy will pay out at 90. If you die at 145, then the policy will pay out then. So again, whole life is exactly what it sounds like, just like term life is. So just keep that in mind as we go through the proceedings of the show. But before we get to the meat of the show today, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to have a guest on the show. We've had him before. He's a friend to the show. We're talking about Steve. He's going to drop some science on life insurance for us, and we're going to go from there. So in a minute. All right, everybody, we're back. This is Level Up with Ryan Hodge. As I said before the break, we got a guest on the show again today. We got Steve. Steve, shout us out, man.
Hey, man, listen, appreciate you inviting me again. It's always good speaking, man, on your particular show, man. I just appreciate your time, brother, for looking into me and just be like, oh, look, man, you be having some good stuff, man, on your calls or when you do invite me on. So appreciate you, brother.
Now, like I said last time, we appreciate you as well. A lot of good feedback from the last show you were on, too. So keep up the good work. Now, as far as today's episode, I already kind of prepped everybody. We're going to be talking about insurance. So before we get all into the insurance and the nuances of it, we got you on the show today to speak to us about different types of insurance. Before we do that, let's talk to Steve about why he got into insurance in the first place. Steve, if you can, let us know.
Man, listen, that's a great question right there. Honestly, for me, what made me get into it is I was at the rock bottom. I had no other option that was presenting to me until I met a gentleman. And he was just like, listen, I want to teach you some financial literacy that could change your life. And of course, my mindset was, how you going to change my life with financial literacy? And I ain't got no money. Where I grew up at on North Main, right here in Columbia, South Carolina, an African-American male, I was like, you got the wrong person. But that's the problem in most of our communities. We'll be so closed-minded to something that's different that we don't even look at it. We don't even go at it with an open mind.
Yeah.
And when I went to that thing with an open mind, end up being one of the best things I ever decided to do. And then that was kind of led me to it. And of course, getting into it at first, man, it was just all about the money. And once I really sat down, I'm like, well, it's bigger than money. It's the education. I can't take the money to the community like I want to at this particular point, but I could definitely educate my people. So that's what got me involved, because I've seen the information that I could take back to my people.
All right, that's love. So, hey, that's right in line with what we talk about on the show all the time, man. You know, this is Level Up with Ryan Hodge. So you just saying that right there, you just brought back information and education to the community that could help build them up. So we applaud you for that. And just to talk a little bit more about you, what are some of your milestones that you've achieved since you've been in the insurance game?
Some of the milestones that was achieved, man. After being in the business for 6 months and taking it serious, I was able to work myself off a job. So 3.5 years now, I haven't worked nobody. I'm going to say four years. Now I haven't worked nobody job. I was able to create my own schedule, get up when I want, do what I want at my convenience. Mm-hmm. And one may say, be like, hey, man, that's a life. No, you actually got to work harder for yourself, in a sense, than you do got on a job, because it's a consequence that's mentally put in place. You could get fired. So being in the insurance business, I got to make sure that I don't fire myself and get complacent and just sitting there and doing nothing, because I feel like, hey, I ain't got to hit no clock, so I ain't got to get up. No, you still got to get up.
Right.
Even when you don't want to. That's when that discipline got
to
kick in.
Yeah, discipline and personal responsibility. Not to cut you off, but just to tie it into the show again, I mean, we talk about personal responsibility on this show. So even though you're not necessarily reporting to somebody else, you're actually reporting to yourself. So,
definitely.
You know, you can't just treat it like, well, I can get it when I want. Treat it as if you are working for somebody else. And ultimately,
and that's
yeah, it is hard. It absolutely is hard. But that's the only way you're going to get to where you want to go.
Yes. And what you're saying that, man, and that's what something that I had to really put in and take serious, because even doing that, man, Hodge, I could tell you that you could think you're doing something and you ain't doing nothing. You're just twirling the wheels, because you could be in action like, oh, I'm getting up. Oh, I'm going to work out. Oh, I'm going to the office. Oh, I'm talking to people. But at the end of the day, it's about success and production, and you bring in cash to make sure you feed your household.
Right.
See, that's the side of business that people don't take serious, because starting a business or just going to get some paperwork down to get an LLC is not it.
Yeah, yeah. That's only beginning stages of it.
That's only beginning stage. That's just some documentation, man. You after you do that, you got to add some work to it.
All right.
And me adding that work, I helped over $1 million in life insurance back into our communities and helping families. That was something else that was real big. And I also the last of the three that I'll share is 150 to 200 over the last 2 years. I've offered people the opportunity to put them in position to make income for their household on a part-time basis, and if they eventually decide that they want to do it full-time, they can.
Yeah. So I like what I'm hearing, man, because, you know, a few minutes back you talked about educating the community, which, of course, is what we're all looking for. Then you said you summed up with your program, your benefits, you put $1 million to $2 million back into the community, and then you're talking about people getting jobs. So, I mean, that's pretty much full circle. Education, money, jobs. I mean, that's what we're looking for to be in our community. So I said it once before. So, again, kudos to you. We're leveling up, helping each other get better and be better every day. So let's just get into the meat of the show, man. Today we got you on the show to talk about types of life insurance. So we're going to ask you, you know, this is your field, and we're going to let you be the aficionado that you are. We're going to let you educate us. That's what we're here for. So tell us, what are some types of life insurance policies, man?
Oh, man, it is different types of life insurance policy. You probably heard a lot of these different names: whole life, universal life, flexible premium, adjustable life, paid up life, educational life. And that's a whole life, cash value. These are all the different names out there. Term insurance. So the main two we are going to talk about, though, is whole life and term insurance are the main two. But there's a whole lot that is out there. And by me mentioning hey, I take it upon you. Listen, go get the education, seek more education on it. But ain't enough time for me to really go into every single one without confusing some folks out there.
Yeah, I'm shucks, man. I'm glad you mentioned all of those different ones because in my world, in my pre warm up to the show, I only mentioned term and whole life because those are actually the only two I'm familiar with anyway. So I'm glad you at least made mention of those other ones. So that way, somebody, myself or somebody else who's listening to the show, if they want information about those other ones, you just mention them. So now they can go grab them. We appreciate you setting the stage for us. So you said you're going to talk about term life policies and whole life policies. So, hey, man, whichever one you want to go at first, just educate us. Put us on.
All right. So I'm going to start off with term. Really pretty much simple. Term insurance is actually for a period of time. What I mean by that, you get that 10-year, 15, 20-year, 25, 30-year, 35-year for as term insurance. But it's for a period of time of having that particular insurance. And it's also cheaper than whole life. And we will get into that, why the reason that is different, but that's the difference. That's what term insurance is. Whole life insurance, of course, is just how it sounds, for your whole entire life. And it also has a cash value, meaning that savings, meaning that one that people like to borrow money from sometimes attached to it. And you probably heard of that right there, especially our older folk. Man, you hear them borrowing from their life insurance policy?
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're doing, is borrowing money from that life insurance policy.
All right. Well, cool. Well, we got those two definitions out the way. We're going to take a break, y'all. We're going to be right back. So stick with us. This is Level Up with Ryan Hodge. All right, everybody, we're back. We still got Steve on the line, and we're going to get into more of this information pertaining to insurance. So, Steve, let us know something, man. You talked about term and life before we hit the break, so break it down for us, man.
All right. So, going more in detail, we talked about, the term insurance. Now we on the whole life insurance. And I'm going to slow it down a little bit with this whole life insurance because I'm going to try to paint this picture through the actual podcast. So I'm gonna give you an example. Let's just say a family had $75,000 worth of life insurance coverage, and this is whole life.
Okay.
And the cost of it, Hodge, is $50 a month.
All right.
That's $600 a year.
Right.
So 25 of that 50 is going towards your life insurance coverage. The other 25 is going into that savings, which you could borrow from, okay?
All right.
So we're going into that savings, and keep in mind, a lot of people don't know that savings, you can't touch it for at least a minimum of a year and a half to two, sometimes longer.
All right.
So you're putting money into this whole life policy that you can't even touch immediately. That makes sense?
Yeah, that makes great sense. Yeah.
All right. So with any coverage, life insurance, the only time it does not pay out is if you allow an application, you commit suicide within the first 2 years, or you just don't pay the monthly cost of that particular coverage.
Right. So let me pause you real quick. You said if you commit suicide within a certain amount of time, is that to say that if a person committed suicide outside of that time frame, they'd still pay out?
It's called a contestability period. So just to throw the disclaimer, depending on the company, just to go off of, depending on what company you're with, you might want to just check your paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of companies I know for sure is 2 years.
Gotcha. All right, well, that's good info, man, because, I mean, at least somebody will know that. And again, people, check your paperwork, because that's important with anything we do. Look at your paperwork and make sure your contract is what you think it is. All right, so I appreciate that. Keep going, man.
All right, so with it, this is the part where it gets tricky at. You know that people like get to a point after the 2 years, they could borrow from it. But the crazy thing is, you got to remember, Hodge, you're the one that put the money into the policy. That makes sense?
Right. Absolutely. You're paying it. Yeah. You put the money in it. Right.
You put the money in there. So when you decide to take it out, why is it considered a borrow? That's the part right there where I just want families to be educated on. So if you don't pay that money back, of course, you got to pay it back with interest.
Right.
Why are you paying your money back?
Right.
So that's one side of it. So when you take it out, what's the consequence? If you don't pay it back, a lot of people are fine with it. They're just going to take it from your coverage.
Mm-hmm.
So now instead of having that $75,000 in coverage, you got $65,000 now.
Right.
So, but that's not fair to the actual client. So just to go a little bit more, let's say you don't touch that money at all. Age 65, you reach.
Right.
Now you done accumulate that cash. You decide you want to take it all out. I don't know if any families ever experienced this, but I had a client before that had this particular policy, and the grandparents took all the money out. They took all the money out. What happens with it, it automatically laps your actual insurance coverage.
Wow.
Why is this difficult? Because when you have your grandkids or your kids go look at your documentation, it says you still have coverage.
Right.
But they don't know that you took out all the cash value. You don't have no coverage. So when they take it to the insurance company is left to explain what's going on with that particular policy. And a lot of families drop the ball on that particular part of not knowing.
Yeah.
So that last step, let's say you reach the age 100, something called an endowment period. That policy that you have is going to pay out automatically. It's going to pay out. So if you got $75,000, Hodge, it's going to go ahead and give you that $75,000.
Yeah.
But where it gets tricky at is all the money that you save, you don't get to take that home, Hodge. They keep that part. So they only giving you your life insurance. They only giving you your life insurance coverage.
Right.
So why is this so important to know? That means you never touched the money. You saved all this money. The company gets to keep it. Why is this important to know? I tell everyone, check your documentation. Because at the end of the day, what families start doing is blaming companies. No, yeah. The company is doing exactly what they say they're going to do.
Right.
It's just you didn't understand what you had. So read that documentation, guys.
Right. So that's why we got you on the show today, man, because there's definitely a lot of nuances of insurance that people don't know, myself included, and just having somebody here to just give us some things to look out for going forward is a blessing to the station, a blessing to ourselves. So we appreciate you.
Oh, yes. Definitely, man. And just to add one more thing on to that right there, man. And I tell people this all the time, Hodge. Having insurance is good. Having make sure that you cover it is good. I can't, or you can't, Hodge, decide on what's best for somebody else's family.
Right.
Whether you want the whole life, and whole life is more expensive. I dare leave that part out. It's more expensive than term. And most people can't keep up with those payments because they're so high.
Mm-hmm.
So with having that particular coverage, guess what? If you can maintain those payments and you got enough coverage, kudos to you.
Right.
You know, I'm happy for you. But make sure you got the coverage in place, guys, of having some type of insurance. And once you have it on it, make sure you get daily educating yourself.
Right. Cool. So I heard you say while you were giving your quick synopsis, you said that whole life per month, as far as the payment is concerned, is more expensive than term life per month as far as the payment is concerned. Is that correct?
Yes, 100% correct.
All right, so then my question to you is, why is that the case? Why is whole more expensive than term per month?
Man, good question. Term insurance is just what it is. It's for a period of time, a term, just for a term. Now, whole life also is for your whole entire life. And it also has a cash value attached to it. So you're paying for two components in that one policy.
Gotcha. All right, so that makes great sense then. So you're getting a 2-for-1 out of the whole life policy, and that's why it's more expensive.
Right.
I want to throw something else out there to you, man. So I know a lot of times when I just kick it with a lot of people I know about my same age range, I'm 41, when I talk to them, a lot of people my age don't have life insurance. For whatever reason, they don't believe in it, whatever the stereotypes they buy into, the myths. So I want to ask you, what do you experience out there when you're trying to do your thing and educate people with life insurance or getting them to get policies in life insurance?
Oh, man, that's a great question. The first thing that people run across, honestly, and this is that real talk right here, Hodge. I never had, to this day, and I've been doing this for 3.5, and it could be that maybe I haven't talked to enough, I'm going to throw that out there, but I haven't had a Caucasian person turn me down on information yet.
Right.
The only people that turn me down is our African-American people. The first thing they say is, I got it already. Mm. And then they're going to say, I got it on my job. Then I ask them the question, what type, how it worked? I don't know. That's a problem right there.
Tell us why.
And it's a problem because we're so fine with, especially on the job, you're only paying cents for it, $7 or $50,000 and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So it leads into more of why we underinsure, because we get insurance off of the price instead of what we need. And that's the breakdown in communities. Everybody that's probably listening in, this is crazy. If you done lost somebody in your family, hey, this is my opinion right here, Hodge. Your family should be rich.
Word.
And if you like, what? It's no way that a family member is dying and the family still going to work every single day. That means that something was done wrong.
All right, so let me jump in here then, man. Before we go too much further with that, you mentioned underinsured. What do you mean by underinsured? You said insurance on the job, and you mentioned the word uninsured, or underinsured, rather. Talk to me about being underinsured.
Okay, how does underinsured look? Hodge, you're my example person, man. You're the person I'm talking to.
Okay.
So you own a house, Hodge, that costs $200,000.
Okay.
And you owning a house with $200,000, that's debt, right?
Definitely, absolutely.
So you have $50,000 in life insurance. You got two kids and a wife.
Right.
You're done. You're leaving your family with $150,000 in debt. And it's going to be plus more because, God forbid, hey, look, not the God forbid side of it, but God forbid if your wife can't carry the household, and you will lose houses.
Yeah.
No kids' education put aside. So only thing you did was left your family a bill. That's
undisturbed. Right. So let me ask you this then. What you saying that, all right, let's say the crib is $250,000, so-and-so, whatever we said. What type of policy, amount-wise, should that family carry?
Good. It's two things that goes in a factor. The first thing is, I believe you should have double to triple of amount of your debt, meaning debt that you owe. So it's a formula that is too detailed to get in on this call, but if anybody ever interested, you could definitely reach out to Hodge and point you in my direction for us really to sit down and give you what's actually needed for your family, because everybody's different.
Yeah.
So it goes to your income, how much you're making. There's other things like that financial need analysis that I won't get into detail in on this particular call that comes in play. So it's a lot of moving components with that question right there.
Yeah. Hey, listen, man, it's funny you say that. You know, just in my time, just chopping it up with people about life insurance, a lot of people, and especially Black people I'm speaking of, to be honest with you, they think life insurance is really just to bury the person who passed away. They're not looking at it as a means to get rich or put themselves in a better position. It's really just to cover the cost of the funeral. And really, that's it.
And you're 100% right that people really be. I run that cross daily. I only need $10,000, enough to get me in the ground.
Right.
They're not thinking about if they got a family or kids. See, and like I said, you have the, I don't choose it as the best option, but you have that option that you could just get enough to put you in the ground. You could do that. But my goal, and most people's goal should be, and I know how your goal is, man, I'm trying to leave my family where they ain't got to go back to work.
Right.
Work for nobody.
Right.
Leave them financially free. You know, so, and that's what it's about, is that we giving up all our time to go make money. But if we got money, we can have some of our time, and we want freedom at the end of the day. So if my death can get my family free, but God dang it, I'm doing it.
That's what it is. All right, so listen, we're going to take another quick break, and we'll return. This is Level Up with Ryan Hodge. All right, everybody. I want to thank you for returning from that break. And we're going to keep this conversation going with life insurance and the nuances of it. Before the break, we were talking about being underinsured. So, Steve, now, you know, as they say out here, for there to be a presence of good, there has to be evil, good or bad, right or wrong. So let me ask you this. You said that a person can be underinsured and you got into how that's possible. So let me ask you, can a person be overinsured?
Man, listen, and I mean this in the nicest way ever, man. Hosh, that's like asking somebody, do they care about having too much money? Like, if somebody said, man, listen, do you got too much money out there? Hosh, what would you say to them?
Nah, I would say I can never have enough bread.
Never can have enough, man. So, honestly, no. It's no such thing. As much as insurance that you possibly got on you, I would never tell you, oh my goodness, you got too much insurance.
All right, people, we heard it here first. I mean, you heard what he said, man. You can't have too much insurance. And if you think about it just in a day-to-day aspect, if somebody asked you if you had too much money, like he asked me, what would your response be? So basically, that bread from that policy seems like we're operating under the condition of the more the merrier. So don't limit yourself. And of course, when I say the more the merrier, I mean, I do mean that, but it still does have something to do with what you can afford. So I'm not saying to go into debt over this and you can't afford to make the payment. So let's not go that far. But the more the merrier, the more policy value you have, the better off your family's going to be on the back end of somebody passing away. Now, like I said a minute ago, a lot of people seem to think that, you know, you just need enough bread to bury the family member and you just keep it moving. And that has, I guess it's a good point because you don't leave a burden on anybody to create a GoFundMe account. But again, where does that leave the family moving forward? So I'm going to tell you like this, man. A lot of people I've talked to just kicking it, they actually feel guilty if they have a financial come up from a loved one dying. And I think that's really the wrong mindset to have because we're all going to go and you want to be in a good position when they go or when I go. I want my peoples to be up too.
Man, it's funny you mentioned that right there, man. It made me think of, you know what people do out there, Hodge? Well, we go out here and we get these cell phones.
All right.
This iPhone 10, 11, 12, all these new iPhones they have going out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what we do once we get those phones? We get insurance on the phone.
Wow.
We got insurance on the phone. And guess what? We got insurance on our car.
Right.
We don't have any insurance. We see the value in those things, but we don't see the value in insurance on our life. See, the thing is, when you go, you get in a car accident, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got insurance on that car. You got insurance on that cell phone. Both of those things you can get back.
Right.
You could go right back and get those. And your family could use another car, and they could use that cell phone because you got the insurance on it. But what is going to replace you financially, making sure your household is good if something happened to you?
Right. And definitely that, because we only got one life, so it's not like we can replace the life. So we at least have to make sure we have something in place to replace the income that we got coming in or that's no longer coming in after we pass away. And furthermore, I want to just talk about the mindset. Like I said a second ago, a lot of people seem to think like, we'll just get this life insurance policy and we'll just cover the burial expenses of the loved one. But we also need to look at this life insurance as a come up. As foul as it may seem to some people, this could be the start of generational wealth, which is what Black people especially don't have a lot of.
And you're right with that, man. And it's sad. It's sad that they don't have a lot of, man. And this happened a couple years ago, man. And this is the story that I'm going to share with y'all right here, man. A couple years ago, it was a guy in Colombia around his birthday time, man. You know, he went to the mall, got a new outfit. Once he got a new outfit, he went to the club.
Okay.
Went to the club. You know it costs what to get in the club now? $20, $40?
Yeah.
Depending on the time you go. So for a new outfit, to get in the club, and he had a VIP section.
Several hundred? A few hundred at least?
At least 200.
Okay.
So that's the minimum now. We already know that it costs more than that for a VIP section in the club. We just being nice,
right,
just to prove a point.
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up getting killed.
Wow. On his birthday.
Mm. So end up dying on his birthday. And the crazy thing is, he has kids. And he had a mom. He had siblings. He had no life insurance.
Right.
He spent $200 for a night. But he could have spent less than $100 to change lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
to come. That's how serious this problem is out here.
Yeah, it really is. Really is, man. And that's why I appreciate you being on the show, bringing us this information. And just to touch back on that generational wealth thing, I mean, you said a minute ago that the policy should be commensurate with what, you know, you need to come out of debt, per se. So if you got a house and that $200,000 policy, just picture the house is worth $200,000, right? And the person who owns the house, the breadwinner, whatever you want to call it, that person in the relationship passes away. And that $200,000 policy, they use that bread to pay the house off. So what you've just done, you've just created a situation to where you're now living in a house that's paid off. And if you have kids, they can inherit a paid off house. Most cases, as long as you keep the house in good shape, you know, it appreciates in value over the time. So you could be passing down in time a few $100,000 worth of a house alone just to your parents or your kids or whoever's, you know, the beneficiary, your wife or your siblings or whatever may have you.
Hey, listen, I completely agree with that, right there with what you said. I'm going to go even a step further for you real quick, just because people understand this thing is serious. It have been cases, Hodge, where people have the money to pay for the house, but they still lose the house.
Mm.
They lose the house.
Because just from blowing the bread?
The family didn't consider the taxes on the house coming.
Wow.
So now that's why it's important to sit down and do that financial need analysis, because gotcha. You can bring everything to the table.
Yeah.
Understanding, hey, taxes are still coming on this house. So the 200,000 is paid, but the tax is 2,000. You gonna have that 2,000 come next year?
Right.
And if you don't, you still gonna lose the house.
Yeah.
You just wasted $200,000.
Just wasted $200,000. Oh, that's tough.
Doesn't happen.
Yeah, it's happening to somebody right now as we speak, for sure. And a lot of it's, like you said, just from lack of information, lack of knowledge. So that's why we bring it to the forefront. Good stuff. So listen, we're going to take another quick break, and we'll be back in a minute. This is Level Up with Ryan Hodge. All right, we back. We still got Steve on the show. We talking about life insurance and things pertaining to it. So I want to take this time to mention, since we're talking about being informed, about how kids play a part in this conversation. So I'm going to tell a quick story about how maybe like 2 years ago, basketball player Zion Williamson was in Columbia, and it was a game at the Colonial Life Arena. So anyway, I was walking down the street headed to the game, and it was three people. I think I might have mentioned this before on the show, but it was three people. It was a father, grandfather, grandson, we'll call it. So anyways, they were talking. The father and the grandfather were just chopping it up. And the grandfather says, "Son, you need to start a 529. So the father actually didn't know what it was. So the dad or the grandfather started educating him on what exactly it was. Now, the crazy thing is the grandson asked what's a 529 as well. The grandfather started educating his grandson also. So he was a part of the conversation is what I'm getting at. So as far as this information is concerned, I think it has to be a culture that people are bought up in to fully buy in. And that's what they were providing for the grandson by allowing him to be a part of the conversation. So Steve, in your experience, what have you seen as far as children being part of the conversation?
Oh man, they're not. That's the crazy thing. Now we're to a point where I do all of my appointments mainly by Zoom. So I'll be sitting right in my office, man, making it happen from the house.
Right.
But even still, when we used to go to homes, they send the kids outside. They send the kids to the room. But what I learned where the kids need to be at is right at the table. Are they going to understand everything that's getting discussed? No. But you got to plant the seed
right.
for them to know. Just like they know these songs on the radio, it was a seed planted.
Right.
So the same way that them songs are being planted in our kids' head, we got to plant the financial literacy, and life insurance is part of the financial literacy.
Right, absolutely. It's funny, right? Maybe 2 days ago, a friend of mine just closed on the house. He got a is an investment property. And I was saying the same thing to him as far as your son going forward, when you go to pick up your rent money from this investment property, your son's going to be in the car looking. And from that, he's going to be part of the conversations of, Dad, what's that about? And before you know it, your son will be 10 years old and he'll be financially literate, or even 15 or whatever it may be. But at least the culture of renting, property, loans, all of that stuff would be in front of him because his father put it in front of him for him to ask questions about and for him to get schooled on. So it's definitely part of what should be happening on a regular basis. Don't shield the kids from positivity at all.
Definitely do not shield the kids from the positivity, man. And I have a daughter. We done mentioned that on other calls. I done had her learn some of the stats and statistics out here just when it comes to just the financial side of things, when it comes to life insurance. And she's 17 now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, me doing this business, and I didn't do it immediately, and I had to check myself. You know, and I didn't do it until like maybe like 2 years ago. And going through, kind of explaining that to the point where everything we cover in our presentation, she knows it.
Yeah.
And the crazy thing, I done had her give this presentation to adults.
Cool.
And they to be looking at her like, oh man, I got to do better because I got a dang on 16, 15, 16 year old telling me information that I don't know at 35, 40.
Right.
But that's the age. And guess what, guys? I feel she started learning it late. 15 is too late.
Mm-hmm.
It should have started earlier.
Right.
You know, but once I realized it, guess what? I'd rather start. Hey, if you got to start it right now, guess what? Get it started. But you got to start getting that thing going to our kids.
All right. Cool. Hey, man, we appreciate that insight. And for certain, yeah, it's never too late again. We would like to know stuff at an earlier age and being that mind frame of teaching it to our kids. We don't always do it at that moment. But at some point, when you become privy to the knowledge, definitely at that point, it's time to disseminate the information to your kids. All right, well, Steve, man, I ain't going to hold you too much long. I'm going to let you go. But before you go, like always, man, close us out with something. Give the people something off the top, whatever that you got. Leave us with something positive, man.
Oh, man, look, something positive, man. I'm going to go back to it. We did cover a lot with this insurance stuff. And I know that it sparked a lot of questions and a lot of opinions and things that you may want more clarity on. It's easy for you to just reach out to Hodge, and Hodge know how to contact me. Or we can sit down. We can have a conversation more in detail and see if anything work out for your family.
Right.
But with the ones that do feel that they have and know that they have enough coverage and the right coverage, I'm going to tell you, go confirm it. Go look at the information again. Look at the small print of your policy. Call your agent, the one that wrote that policy for you, and ask more questions. That's what you got to do, because what a lot of folks do, man, I see it every single day. They started blaming the company.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you this. It's never the company fault. It's never, because who signed the paperwork?
Right.
You signed the paperwork. So if you didn't read it, because you get a time frame to look at that paperwork to get your money back immediately.
Right.
You got to look period. If I don't know if it varies for all companies, but I don't even know with us, it's a 10-day look period for you to look at all of that information. I'm like, yo, listen, I decide this small print I don't like. Send me my money back. And it happens.
Right.
So if you continuously every month, or annually, or semi-annually, pay on something and you don't know all the details of it, it's your fault.
Cool.
Don't blame the company. I tell anybody, it was a guy that was selling the dozen of donuts for $15. I'm not mad at him for selling the donuts for $15.
Mm-hmm.
If you decide to buy the donuts for $15, that's on you.
Right.
We know they cost $6.
Mm-hmm.
But he's doing what he's supposed to do. That's business.
Right.
You know, so make sure you know your information. Make sure you know your information. I keep saying that because I see it every day.
Cool.
And it bothers me, man. These GoFundMes out here doing fish fries. The time to talk about it when you know a family member do not have life insurance is at the dang on funeral. People like, whoa, that's the wrong time. No, that's the right time because y'all had to scrape up some money and do GoFundMe.
Mm-hmm.
So put everybody in a dang on circle. and figure out who don't have life insurance, because we can make so when the next family member go, it ain't leaving everybody in debt.
Right.
And that people would be like, this ain't just the right time for it. No, it's the right time. The right time is right now. We try to put things off until later. We can't do that, because when later get here, it may be too late.
That's right.
So that's what I got for you, Hodge, man. I really appreciate you again for having me on. Hey, I love everybody that's listening on this, man. And, yo, just do the right thing for your family and yourself. Don't be selfish.
There it is. All right, well, Steve, we appreciate your closeout, man, and the information you provided throughout the show. Until next time, man, we appreciate it. All right, everybody. It's another one down. Anybody who tuned in, like always, I appreciate you. Hey, I want to thank Steve for coming on the show again, letting us know something. As always, I want to thank Hindsight Media Radio for making this all possible. Hit that website for me. It's RyanHodgeBooks.com for all your reading needs, you heard? But until next time, this has been Level Up with Ryan Hodge. Enjoy the week. Later.